K-Mud Podcast presents.
Calendar turns before Thursday comes round. Smells of turkey and gravy on every patch of ground. They tell a sweet story, a tale they wanna keep, about sharing and harvest while my ancestors sleep. They call it Thanksgiving, a feast for the free and the brave. But the thanks that they're giving is built on a mass grave.
'Cause this ain't no holiday, babe.
This is a hurt.
It's got a bitter cold taste.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot worse.
This ain't no pumpkin pies, pilgrim's blood on the plate. Whitewash history sealed by the hand of fate.
No.
They broke the treaties, then they burned the corn and the lie they tell about that first supposed morn.
Still hangs heavy
like a smoke-filled sky.
The truth of this country,
baby, just won't let it lie. My grandfather's ghost, he sits down at the table, watches the TV, sees a comfortable fable. They don't talk about the smallpox, the blankets they threw down. Don't talk about the children chased out of their town. They only talk of friendship, a handshake and a prayer. But they meant possession, they meant to take our share.
Yeah, they came looking for freedom, but all they brought was pain. And the profit from that bloodshed still drips down like rain.
Look at this America now, the concrete and the rust. Her heart is weary, her foundation's turned to dust. She's been running on a lie, 100, maybe 2. How you gonna heal the present when you won't own a past? It's true.
Ooh.
The mighty towers are shaking.
Ooh.
The glory starts to fade.
Ooh.
'Cause the price of denial eventually must be paid.
Ooh.
You reap what you sow, darling. That's a righteous law. And the seeds of their genocide, that's her biggest flaw.
'Cause this ain't no holiday, baby.
This is a hurt.
It's got a bitter cold taste.
Hey,
that's a whole lot worse.
This ain't no pumpkin pies, pilgrim's blood on a plate. Whitewash history sealed by the hand of fate. Oh, they broke the treaties, then they burned the corn. And the lie they tell about their first supposed morn still hangs heavy like a smoke-filled sky. The truth of this country, baby, just won't let it lie. Gonna set us free. Gonna set us free.
Good morning and welcome to Heart of the Earth. This is a program about Native Americans and other indigenous cultures. My name is Agnes and I'll be with you until 10 a.m. Well, I opened with a group called We Are Still Here. I want to really thank Theta Red Hawk for turning me on to them. And yeah, the first song I heard of them was about Aunties, and I thought, oh, I should check them out. And oh my gosh, yes, this song was Thanksgiving, Pilgrim's Blood on a Plate. And yes, tomorrow is that holiday. I have lots to play about it. I have a pretty bad sinus infection, not contagious, just sinuses. So if I sound a little funny, that's the reason why. And I'm here last night in Oakland. There was to be an historical gathering with Leonard Peltier, Angela Davis, Nick Tilson. And then Leonard was supposed to be at Sunrise Ceremony tomorrow in Alcatraz. You know, it's going to be his Mandela moment, you know, 5,000 people. And I guess the government got wind of it and said, no, you're not going to California. But he was on Zoom last night with Angela and Tony Gonzalez from American Indian West, who I've known for, you know, probably 45 years now, sent me a copy of it. So I have a recording. I'll get to play it. And yeah, so I didn't go once I knew Leonard wasn't going to be there. But I hopefully maybe I can get a hold of Tony during the hour and we can talk about it. Sounded like just an incredible event. I want to share with you, to start with, it's a mini Thanksgiving guide from Julia Francella. And yeah, it kind of says it all. She calls it a mini Thanksgiving guide. She says, every November, I'm reminded that Thanksgiving sits in a strange place for a lot of us. Some Native families celebrate it, some don't. Some treat it as a day of mourning. And all these, most of us grew up with the... and all those voices are valid. I really wanted to make sure I got that in. Yes, some Native families celebrate it, some don't. Some treat it as a day of mourning, and all of those choices are valid. Most of us grew up with the picture book version, Pilgrims, Nameless Indians, One Big Happy Feast. But that story was invented in the 1800s. The real history, the Wampanoag history, is far more complex and far more human. The Wampanoag had been living, thriving, and giving thanks on their homelands for thousands of years before 1621. They had harvest ceremonies, gratitude practices, diplomacy, and community long before this country created a holiday for it, and long before European diseases tore through their villages. Yet the myth became the story, repeated in classrooms, plays, and dinner tables for generations. If you were taught that myth, it's not your fault. It's the only version America allowed you to learn. But now we know more, and knowing more lets us do better, gently and with an open heart. We all inherited this history. Here's a small guide for anyone who wants to rethink Thanksgiving without guilt or defensiveness, and with more truth, presence, and gratitude. 1. Acknowledge the real history. You don't need a lecture at the table. You can say something as soft and true as, quote, I'm grateful today. I also want to acknowledge the Native nations whose land we're on and the Wampanoag story that goes beyond the myth we were taught. That's it. Simple and honest. 2. Remember, gratitude didn't begin with pilgrims. Indigenous nations have practiced daily gratitude and seasonal harvest ceremonies for thousands of years. Learn about Cranberry Day from the Wampanoag harvest traditions, the Hanandasi Thanksgiving address, spoken year round. These are living practices, not folklore. I highly recommend reading the Hanandasi Thanksgiving address as often as you can. 3. Bring Native voices to the table, literally. Set out a book by a Native author. Tell a story from a Native filmmaker. Make space for Indigenous joy, not just Indigenous trauma. Some beautiful, family-friendly suggestions. Books. We Are Grateful, from Tracy Sorrell, the Cherokee Nation. Berry Song, from Michaela Goad of the Tlingit Nation. Strawberry Thanksgiving, by Paula Dove Jennings, Anara Gossett, and Giving Thanks, Chief Jake Swamp. Fry Bread, by Kevin Noble from the Seminole Nation. Kipong-umuk, the Wee-a-chum's Thanksgiving from Danielle Greendeer. She's from the Wampanoag Nation. Giving Thanks, a Native American Good Morning Message from Chief Jake Swamp from the Mohawk Nation. Turtle Island, the Story of North America's First People by Eldon Yellowhorn from the Piikani Nation. And Braiding Sweetgrass, yeah, great book. It's by Robin Wall Kiminer from the Potawatomi Nation, excuse me. All right, some films and show. Fry Bread, Face and Me, it's on Netflix. Reservation Dogs, Funny, Brilliant, and Heartfelt on Hulu. Smoke Signals, an iconic Native comedy. Rutherford Falls, it's light and joyful. And Echo from Disney. And she says these center Native humor, kinship, and contemporary life, not stereotypes. 4. If the holiday feels complicated to you, that makes sense. For many Native people, Thanksgiving carries grief. For others, it carries memory. For some elders, it was one of the only times children in boarding schools were allowed to see family. There is no single Native perspective. There are only lived ones. 5. Practice gratitude in a way that honors the land you're on. A walk outside. A moment of quiet, naming what has carried you through the year, acknowledging the original people of this place. Gratitude is something we can do no matter how we celebrate or don't celebrate. 6. Weave in Indigenous foods, the original North American cuisine. So much of what's on America's tables today exists because of Indigenous knowledge. Think about corn, beans, squash, cranberries, wild rice, maple, sunflower oil, pumpkin, cocoa, and potatoes, all gifted to the world by Indigenous people. And if you want to honor the holiday in a grounded way, include a dish that reflects these roots. And here's a few ideas. The Three Sisters Stew, corns, beans, squash, a complete protein. Wild rice with squash and mushrooms. Cranberry sauce sweetened with maple. Roasted squash with sage. Blue corn cornmeal. Bison stew or bison meatballs. These aren't just recipes. They are food tied to land, to seasons, to survival, to memory. And if you want to go deeper, look into the work of Indigenous chefs like Sean Sherman, the Sioux chef. And the book came out the day I left on my road trip. And so next week I'm going to, read from the book. It's just incredible. And also we'll play an excerpt with him from the Comedy Central. All right. There's Crystal Wapapa, and she cooked the meal last night down in Oakland with Angela Davis. Brian Yahtzee, Jose Anthony of the To'odom Nation. They're revitalizing Indigenous food systems with brilliance and joy. 7. And finally, let this day hold both truth and tenderness. You can sit at your table, enjoy the meal, laugh with your family, feel the warmth of the room and the softness of rest, and still make space in your heart for the real history that lives beneath this day. These things are not opposites. They walk together. They have to. Grief and gratitude, truth and tenderness. They're all part of the same human story, the one we're still learning how to tell with honesty and care.
Every year in November, a story is taught to America's school children. It goes like this. After a harsh winter, the pilgrims,
hello,
with the help of a native named Squanto,
hi,
reaped a successful harvest and celebrated by inviting the local Indians for a friendly feast and started a yearly tradition.
Yay!
Almost every part of this story is historically inaccurate, and it's time to clear up the myths and lies surrounding the story of Thanksgiving. The Pilgrims were an English sect of the Puritans, a separatist Protestant congregation. These Puritans didn't call themselves Pilgrims, didn't come seeking religious freedom, and didn't wear buckle hats. By the time of the Pilgrims' arrival in 1620, two-thirds of Massachusetts' indigenous tribes had already been killed by new diseases brought by British explorers or kidnapped into the European slave trade. Plymouth Rock lay in the center of the territory of the recently extinct Pawtuxet tribe, which had been wiped out by a plague. Upon landfall, one of the first things the pilgrims did was to rob the graves of the Wampanoag tribe and steal as much of the tribe's winter provisions as they could get their hands on. This caused tension between the Wampanoag, who ruled over Massachusetts, and the Puritans, which continued to increase until 1621 when Massasoit, the leader of the Wampanoags, found it politically advantageous to form an uneasy truce heavily slanted in the Europeans' favor. For the Wampanoags, the alliance was a necessity which allowed them to focus on fighting off other tribes invading their territory. Squanto, or his real name, Tisquantum, was a member of the Pawtuxet tribe whose territory the Pilgrims had colonized. Captured by British slavers 6 years before the arrival of the Pilgrims, he was sold into slavery in Spain, escaped to England, then returned to North America where he worked with British merchants seeking to exploit Newfoundland. He eventually returned to New England to find his entire tribe dead and the Pilgrims living in what had been his tribe's summer village. Tisquantum would become the key for survival of the Puritans as he showed them how to plant and fertilize corn and other native vegetables, where to fish, and how to communicate with natives. The Feast of 1621, which we think of as the first Thanksgiving, was not an annual dinner, but rather a celebration of a successful harvest after a harsh winter. A letter written by one of the 50 Puritans at the dinner, Edward Winslow, recounts that they survived this winter because of the Wampanoags, but didn't see them as equals and didn't invite the natives to the feast. During the celebration, the Puritans fired off muskets and cannons for sport, which put the Wampanoags on full alert. 90 armed natives marched to Plymouth to see what was happening, and they stayed to make sure the British weren't planning anything violent. The eventual feast was not one of thanks and respect, but one of distrust and aggressive action. Another, quote, Thanksgiving would only come 16 years later when the Puritans were celebrating their recent massacre of the Pequot tribe.
Yay!
Even this wasn't what we think of as Thanksgiving today, but instead a day-long Puritan fast and remembrance of God. The holiday and concept we know as Thanksgiving started in George Washington's 1789 Thanksgiving Proclamation, where the Puritans aren't even mentioned. The holiday wasn't celebrated nationwide until 1863, when Lincoln declared it a national holiday to try to keep the country united. Even the myth about the Indians and the Pilgrims didn't even come about until the 1900s, yet still this story is taught as fact in schools across the country. So, this holiday season, forget about this made-up story of kindly Indians and grateful, friendly Pilgrims, and instead, honor the natives of then and now with Native American Heritage Day.
Columbus got drunk and invaded the Americas. Ever since then, it's been nothing but hysteria. So how you carve a turkey when the system wanna murk me? Stop frisking, search me for my braids and my jersey. I ain't thankful for the police, can't stand for no brutality. But Black Friday, we spending all our salary. Can't celebrate hate, but I will instigate till my people liberate and they find inner strength from the Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria, the Caddy, the Rovers, the Jeeps, and the Beamers to the measles on the flea sides, but then they call us savage. They say we act ratchet while they take us from the classes. Put us behind bars, keep the poverty contained, keep the people in the hood, keep dumbing down their brain. And some look to destiny, but we got self-determination, which means by any means we gon' get this liberation.
Thanksgiving. The Indians saved the Pilgrim, and in return the Pilgrim killed them. They call it Thanksgiving. I call your holiday Hell Day, cause I'm for poverty, neglected by the wealthy.
We exist to resist, red, black, and brown fists. Put the shackle on your mind when they took them off your wrists. And they came to us starving, Bible in hand. And they left us with the Bible and the devil took the land. But payback's a bitch with an STD. Said God is a man of war, death stands at the door. Fall back, stand down, look away, hit the floor. Crazy as hell, if you think you wouldn't pay for. Feel the wrath of walking in the path of divine intervention. Fire in the devil's kitchen, I'm straight out of poverty. True good harmony, no racial harmony. Cause you here properly, got
turn to keep it 100 like a century. Reap what you sow, every knee will bow eventually. Here, pale face, just watch that weather. When Allah finish with you, we just take it back together.
Thanksgiving. The Indians saved the pilgrim, and in return the pilgrim killed them. They call it Thanksgiving, I call your holiday hell day, cause I'm from poverty, neglected by the wealthy.
Y digo gracias a la vida, thankful for my people, not the colonizers, still trying to divide us. Why? Cause if all the tribes united, their worst nightmares are come alive, and warrior spirits ignited. We still fighting, they still racist, disease infested blankets still infect the matrix. Basic access to health, shelter, food and water in danger cause they still wanna take it all from us. Come up, you can hustle from sun up to sundown, but do you challenge the system that keep your brother down? Do the math, do the knowledge, who worked the hardest, pick the harvest, make the dish, set the table, can't sit, take your order, no tip, don't trip, thank you. This revolution been brewing since 1492, 5 centuries plus of all golden blood, but they time is up, huh, up comes the sun.
They call it Thanksgiving, the Indians saved the pilgrim, and in return the pilgrim killed them. They call it Thanksgiving, I call your holiday hell day, cause I'm from poverty, neglected by the wealthy.
The massacre, the Holocaust, biological warfare, history lost, disease filled, religious pilgrims taught them how to live and eat. In exchange, they raped Mother Earth, sold a daughter on the streets. Terrorists took the land, and now they live in the house they destroyed. Mercenaries deployed to kill families and celebrate it, just like back when blacks was lynched and castrated, sold as property, arrived from our graves. Annihilation of the natives would never be my holiday. Death haunt the life of those who try to colonize. These rhymes is revenge for the indigenous genocide. So look it up before you cook it up. Say your grace with your fam, say a prayer for this nation, cause what go around, come around, we call it thanks-taking.
Yes, thanks-taking. And that was from Rebel Diaz. Yes, the thanks-taking. Before that, we heard from Smoke Signals why the story of Thanksgiving is a lie. And I'm going to just play some recorded pieces now to save my throat and voice from my sinuses. I hope you enjoy these. It's just a Native Thanksgiving, I guess you could call it.
Happy Thanksgiving, America. I'm Donna, and I'm here with my friends to tell you the real history behind this holiday. Growing up, I knew that what they told you in school about Thanksgiving wasn't true. That's not the true story. The true story behind Thanksgiving was, after every killing of a whole village, these European settlers celebrated it, and they called it Thanksgiving. But it wasn't until Abraham Lincoln became president that it became an official holiday.
He ordered 38 Dakota men to be hung for war crimes
after the sacred holiday, Christmas.
We take this time to remember our elders who lost their lives due to what really happened. Usually my mom makes a Native American dish for us and we pray.
Growing up, I would be kind of annoyed that they didn't know what actually happened on Thanksgiving and that they're actually celebrating the deaths of many people and many tribes that were lost.
Whether it's to give thanks or to be with your family, you should learn how to holiday was established in the first place.
I'm thankful for being born indigenous to this continent.
I'm thankful that I still have my culture.
I'm thankful that my elders kept our culture alive all these years.
I'm thankful to be indigenous, resilient, and alive.
I'm thankful for us all to be able to stand together, stand strong, and stand as one.
Happy Thanksgiving, America.
It's just like Malcolm X said, we didn't land on Plymouth Rock, Plymouth Rock landed on us. Plymouth to me, it's not America's hometown. Plymouth to me is nothing more than a continuing the mythology. We don't see any reason to celebrate the arrival of the pilgrims. What the heck did they do for us? Nothing. My name is Munanam James. I'm a member of the Aquinawampanoag tribe of Gay Head, co-leader of United American Indians of New England, and an organizer of the National Day of Mourning. The truth is that the first Thanksgiving was not in 1621. The first Thanksgiving was in 1637 because Governor Winthrop decided that he would give thanks for the safe return of the people who went to Mystic, Connecticut and participated into the massacre of the Pequot. That was the real first Thanksgiving. And we tend to look at it as like, hey, first Thanksgiving. Here it is, Plymouth Pebble. If anyone thinks that this is where the pilgrims stepped ashore, like I said, they had unbelievably long legs. My father started National Day of Mourning in 1970 because he had been invited to address a big banquet of dignitaries and all this kind of thing, and they asked for a copy of his speech in advance, which he sent, and then within days they came back and said, you can't give this speech. It's too inflammatory. The pilgrims and the Indians sat down to a beautiful dinner and lived happily ever after. The end. He was censored, plain and simple. It got out under the Moccasin Telegraph, and a few hundred indigenous native people came to Plymouth and they declared it a National Day of Mourning. And this year marks our 48th year of being on this hill. Really, and that's what this all means, the oppression, and the oppression has not ceased. It hasn't ceased. We continue to experience it. Every time I read that, and I do have to stop because that's hard. It's hard to read it. That's what Day of Mourning means. We stand here in our circle, we have our prayer, we have whatever, and then we speak.
Every inch of this land is Indian land. We are as strong as ever.
Our rates of suicide, our rates of alcoholism, poverty, all these kind of, nothing's really changed. But every year when we come here, we're trying to at least make people aware of things like that. It's just so ridiculous. We're all human beings. I think the problem is they think that we've disappeared. We have not vanished. We have not been conquered. We are still here. What else can I say?
As a Native American, what does Thanksgiving mean to me?
Loss of land, genocide, rape. I don't celebrate, the arrival. I don't celebrate Plymouth Rock.
Thanksgiving, historically, is the murder of an entire village. Thanksgiving is not about Native Americans and pilgrims eating peaceably together. That is not the history. My wife and I actually fast on that day in memory of those people. We don't eat anything.
I cook for the people that need to be cooked for to feed and empower and uplift other folks. Usually it's just a recommitting myself to activism, fighting, the colonization.
As a Native American, you know, it's not easy. There are a lot of issues we face on a day-to-day basis. Either we are completely wise or we are uneducated savages.
They're using their political and financial power against Indigenous peoples to take our land, to poison the earth, and to poison ultimately our people.
And that was the Wampanoag singers, yes, from that area right there. And before that, we heard Native American girls describing the real Thanksgiving and why these Native Americans observe a national holiday of observance. And I'm going to continue with Native Americans on Thanksgiving.
Hi, Ms. Van Soar's class. My name is Kimberly Norris Guerrero. In my language, in my Cherokee language, we would say OCO, hello. I have some friends with me here. They're going to introduce themselves, and we're going to tell you a little bit about our take on Thanksgiving.
Hello, my name is Michael Horse. I'm Yomai, Yaqui, and Mescalero. I'm from Southern Arizona. And Thanksgiving, it was actually a going away dinner, and they didn't get it, you know? But no, it's people are always asking me, you know, I'll go in the store, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? I have to explain to them, not a big Native holiday, you know. And historically, I mean, those people came and saved those pilgrims' life, and then they killed them all, you know. And so kids are still celebrating this in school, you know. I mean, my little grandson came home and said, yeah, they want to put little pilgrim hats and stuff. Just wrong. So anybody that, you can Google the true history of it. You know, just get on the internet and it'll tell you the true history. So, but not a big Indian holiday.
Hi, I'm Gregory Cruz. I'm Apache from Southern Arizona. Sounds like Southern where? Southern Arizona. And I also am Spanish and from the Mexican side of the border as well. So we got Indians all over the place. And my take on Thanksgiving is you got to look at things, I have to look at things so that I could pull the good out of them. Because if I don't, I'm just going to live in the negative and I'm going to live in the past. And I cannot change that. So I've got to change what I can. To me, my future is important. Your future is important to get the information correct and then to move forward from there. Because you're the future leaders. You are here now. So if you could take this, make it a celebration, not of that, because it's incorrect. Google your history, like Michael said. Take it and make it your own. Change it. Make it work for you. Make it work for the positive. Let those people who are ignorant of what really went down understand what really went down, and then smile at them, take them by the hand, take them to dinner, and tell them, here's the real Thanksgiving from our hearts, not from their minds.
Hi, I'm Amanda Snelling. I'm from Southern California, but my family's from Oklahoma. My grandma was Choctaw, born and raised. She went to all of the powwows. She even chanted. She taught me how to count, and I don't remember. And she explained Thanksgiving to me as we had to celebrate it, that we have our family, that we are able to know the truth, and that's why we celebrate it. We don't celebrate it for the reasons that maybe they teach you in school. We celebrate it, the fact that we have our family and we have our heritage, and that's what we get out of it. So I think that's important.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So as you can see, Native families from across the United States, Canada, Mexico as well, because there was no border back 500 years ago. There were Native people from Alaska all the way down to South America. But here in America, where we celebrate Thanksgiving, Native families usually use it as a day to get together and eat and celebrate that that we have made it through the past 500 years, that we have each other and that we have our culture. And I think any day is a good day to celebrate the things that we're thankful for and to think about the things that we're thankful for. So this year we're going to be especially thankful and praying for relatives up in North Dakota who are protesting a oil pipeline that's going across sacred territory where their relatives, their ancestors are buried. And also they're trying to put it across a very important river. And if anything happened to the pipeline, it would pollute the river and pollute the water. And it would pollute the water not just for the Native people there in North Dakota on the Standing Rock Reservation, but people throughout the entire Midwest in America. And so they're there just trying to say that water is life and to remind people that we are all related and what happens to the earth happens to all of us. And so they're there as protectors. And so this Thanksgiving, I know that my family will be praying for them and standing with them and for all people that are standing firm and protecting their rights to their water, to have safe, healthy, clean water and a safe, clean, healthy environment for themselves. Because when it's all said and done, we're all human beings, and that's the way Native Americans see the world. We don't see divisions of nation or race or culture. We actually see divisions just based on there's the tree nation and the rock nation and the four-legged nation, the flying, the winged nation. So we see the whole world as many parts of a great whole, and the human beings, you and me, that we're all one family, we're all related. And so I hope that this Thanksgiving, at least for us in America, if Monique Mansour has you celebrated there, that's what you'll be thinking about, that you'll be thankful for your families and for each other, and that even with all the craziness in the world right now, we are still a human family and we do love each other. There's a lot of us out there that love each other. And certainly we send our love to you all the way there in Malta.
I'm Melvin, I'm 12 years old, and what was the first Thanksgiving like?
Hi, I'm Philip Wynn here at the Wampanoag Indigenous Program at Plymouth Plantation on Mashpee Wampanoag. And the two different ideas of giving thanks between our people, the Wampanoag people, Native people around here, and the Puritans, mostly in Plymouth Colony, the Pilgrims, were almost like two different opposites, two polar opposites. The people in Plymouth were a lot different than our people. The Wampanoag people had this relationship with their earth that we lived on, almost like you have a relationship with your mother. So we would wake up, and the idea of giving thanks, you would give thanks every day the sun came up. You know, a man would wake up with the sun almost before the first bird chirped, get a good jump on hunting or fishing, and give thanks for that sun and whatever meat was in season, and, you know, give thanks for things as they come. You know, this is how we give thanks. But actually, the only time that the two came together and shared a meal was during a harvest of 1621, when Usamequin, or Massasoit, came with almost an entourage of 90 men, and they discussed terms of a peace treaty for over 3 days. That was really the only time that the two ever sat together and really ate. So was there really a first Thanksgiving? Not in a way that we kind of think about it now, but for us, every day is reasons to give thanks.
A Thanksgiving prayer. On this day, we give thanks, Miigwech, to our Creator, Great Spirit, or God, for all of our families and friends, to those who have walked before us, to those who walk for us, and to those who walk with us. May we always keep in mind the path we set for all of those who follow us. We pray not for an easy journey or one without challenges. Rather, we are thankful for your gifts of strength, courage, wisdom, and hope to always lead the way through compassion, respect, and peace. Aho, amen. Washkanejiganikwe.
When it's Thanksgiving time, I usually just kind of brace for, like, ignorance.
They think of it as a celebration, a day to give thanks, but as an Indigenous person, it's the exact opposite.
I had to get past the anger. Any time that a young person grows up and realizes that they're being lied to, they're going to get a little bit angry.
Around that time of Thanksgiving, that's when the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe were in contact with the Europeans. They're sick, they're hungry, they're starving, and so the tribe had decided to nurture them.
We all know historically, after that act of kindness, you know, what really went down.
They did more than take advantage. They killed the women, they killed the children, they killed the men. And so that's why it's not a day of thanks. It's a day of mourning.
I've had some issues with teachers handing out homework with, like, outdated Thanksgiving stories, and I've had to call them out on it, and they get a little bit defensive.
I used to get angry about it until I realized that underneath that anger was just really deep sadness.
If you don't know the true history, you're going to repeat the same things that you've done. And they're still doing this to Indigenous people. Like, some people say, oh, why don't you just get over it? Well, you know, it's never stopped.
Being a Native American means, like, struggle all the time, in every way. The truth is what keeps us human, and we have to admit our mistakes.
And that's the only way we're going to be able to move forward. And Thanksgiving is an opportunity to do that in the United States.
All right. Well, I want to share this poem with you. It's called It's All Native Land. The soil remembers every tread of moccasins where rivers spread. Before the borders, flags, or claims, the earth was known by sacred names. The smoke still rises, soft and grand. It whispers truths that cannot brand. No fence, no map, no line was planned, for all of this is native land. I thought I'd share with you, I was really surprised, you know, Levi Rickett, he's in Michigan, but he wrote about Alcatraz because, tomorrow at the sunrise ceremony, it's the 50th anniversary of the takeover of the island of Alcatraz, And so I just thought I'd share his story. And he says, before sunrise Thursday, hundreds of indigenous people and non-native allies are expected to gather on Alcatraz Island for the annual Indigenous Peoples Gathering Sunrise Ceremony organized by the International Indian Treaty Council. The ceremony, first held in 1975, draws participants from across the country who travel by ferry from San Francisco to honor indigenous resistance, survival, and renewal. And aside from the COVID pandemic, the gathering has taken place each year since its founding. Alcatraz Island has become a powerful symbol for many Native people, a place tied both to historical struggle and ongoing hope. Once home to the federal penitentiary known as The Rock, the island housed some of the nation's most famous inmates, including Al Capone, until the prison closed in 1963. And I just want to interject here, if you don't know, you know, Trump really is trying to reopen it as a prison. They have inspectors there doing all kinds of stuff. It's like it's supposed to be a national park, but, you know, but yeah, just crazy. Okay, to continue. Afterwards, a Native activist urged the federal government to return the island to indigenous stewardship. Their effort culminated in the 19-month occupation of Alcatraz from November 1969 to July of 1971. Led by Mohawk activist Richard Oakes, Lanada Means from the Shoshone Bangkok Nation, and she's now known as Dr. Lanada Warjack, Grace Thorpe of Saxon Fox, daughter of Olympian Jim Thorpe, Tuscarora medicine man Mad Bear Anderson, John Trudell was also there, just many, many people. And the occupiers became known as the Alcatraz Red Power Movement, or Indians of All Tribes. The occupation drew widespread support from Native leaders and community members. Prominent figures from the American Indian Movement, including Dennis Banks, Russell Means, and Clyde Belcourt, traveled to the island. Wilma Mankiller, who would later become the first female principal chief of the Cherokee Nation, also spent time with the occupiers. And since 1975, indigenous people have returned to the Alcatraz each Thanksgiving for a sunrise ceremony, for a sunrise gathering, once widely referred to as Un-Thanksgiving Day, a counter observance that challenges the national holiday's traditional narrative. When and if you go, the ferries to the ceremony depart from Pier 33, Alcatraz Landing in San Francisco. Visitors must wear face coverings while in the boarding line. And I don't know if they actually still do that. But the landing area, including the ticket booth and waiting zones, is accessible, and accessible restrooms are available at Pier 33 and on all vessels. There's no wheelchairs that are available, but if you come in a wheelchair, you can get on the ferry, and then if you have some good, strong nephews, they'll wheel you up to the top. Otherwise, I know the last time I was there, and I, you know, this is right before I had my knee surgery and I could barely walk, they have a shuttle. Once you get off the ferry, there's a shuttle to take the handicap or the elders up to the top, so... Just to let you know, the departure times are 4:15, 4:30, 4:45, 5 a.m., 5:15, 5:30, 5:45, and 6 a.m. And I had to have a good laugh out of this. The way he wrote, the weather in Alcatraz is unpredictable and subject to change unexpectedly, so be sure to dress in layers. Bring along a light jacket or sweater, no matter how nice the day begins. And I just laugh because everybody that's been there knows you have to have a heavy jacket and a blanket wrapped around you because it is so cold, more cold than you can imagine. I mean, I'm telling you, the last time I was there, it was 28 degrees and the wind was blowing. So it was like minus something, and I ended up with a horrible sinus infection that turned into pneumonia. I haven't been back since because of that, and Tony was saying he's not going to be there either. He has health issues, so it's kind of hard for us elders now to make it to that sunrise ceremony. And You know, Tony and I always laugh about when we talk about Alcatraz, because one year, oh my gosh, this was probably 30 years ago, 35 years ago, and we were trying to make it there, and we said, oh my God, and I had driven a long way, and we got there, and the last boat had just taken off like 3 feet away from the pier, and they wouldn't let us on. And so, we went and had a nice breakfast over in Fisherman's Wharf, and then came back when everybody got off the boat. We always laugh about, just those couple of minutes, darn. Anyway, also, they'll tell you that, it's all sold out. All the tickets have been sold. But actually, the cruise line holds out 500 tickets, and they go on sale at 3 in the morning. So if you don't have a ticket and you're considering going, you have to be there at 3 in the morning to get a ticket. So I just thought I'd let you all know this. It's always beautiful. There's usually Aztec dancers and the Pomo dancers and wonderful speakers. And again, Leonard Peltier was supposed to be there this year, but at the last minute they said, no, no, no. And in a few weeks I will, Tony sent me a copy of the program last night with Angela Davis and Mark Tilson and Leonard Peltier on Zoom. And, so I know it's going to play tonight on KPFA. I'll probably get it up here on KMUD in a couple of weeks. So, I'm going to close, with, Wampanoag Singers. I have a couple of things from them, and I'll be back next week. Have a beautiful day tomorrow. Think about whose land you're on. Give thanks. As so many Native people have spoke this morning on this program, we give thanks every day. Every day you give thanks for another day. You thank the Creator for all that you have. Yes, and give thanks. Give thanks for this wonderful, wonderful community that we live in. Oh,
KMUD podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast and also on our website, kmud.org.